What's up, everybody? This is Noah from Bleed the Sky, and you're listening to the House of Noise podcast.
All right, well, everybody, welcome to another episode of House of Noise podcast.
Welcome, people, to House of Noise Podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to the House of Noise Podcast. All right, so this episode we interviewed Noah from Bleed the Sky. We had a shitload of fun talking to him.
Oh, my God.
He is
what
a talker.
A card.
He is a talker.
Which
it's
is beautiful.
Awesome. Yes, we love it. He loves talking music, and every question we asked him, he was quick to it.
Yes.
And answered. And, I mean, we went over everything.
Oh,
I mean, I don't think
he's awesome.
I don't think we missed anything either.
Yeah. I'm excited that they're going to do Bleed the Sky, This Way Lies Madness, the cover that they're going to do that on vinyl. And but even more, they're going to do a freaking poster.
I think the poster's already done. I mean, I think they're doing, because they're doing VIPs where they give you a poster. So I'm assuming
they
have the
poster. True. Yeah. Which, if we could go to the Sturgis show, we'd be doing VIP and hanging and chilling and fucking signing shit and pictures for our website. But this cover art is just so freakishly kick ass. Oh my God. If you haven't seen the album cover, you need to get off your butts and go to Facebook and look up Bleed the Sky and just check it out.
I always put the links for the websites for the bands in the description. So, you know, shoot down there. Click on the link, check him out, listen to the music, check out.
I think Noah's our new best friend forever.
Yeah, he is.
And I'm a fan of Bleed the Sky forever.
I'm really sad that we're not going to be able to make it to the show.
I know,
on the 8th.
Me too.
I mean, if we didn't already have the prior engagement, we would have definitely made it out there. But yeah, we went over everything from their beginning when they first started playing with, and they got to open for Opeth, all the way up to recently. They talked about the lineup changes that they've had over the years, and there was no bad blood and anything, but, you know, there was a little bit of tragedy in their lives. And
yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to spoil everything if you want to listen to.
I wish I were in California at their show last night, because it sounds like it was like just like mind-blowingly
emotional,
amazing
too.
And like totally emotional. Like him talking about it made me want to cry, and I was getting the chills.
We were literally getting chills listening
to
him.
Yeah, I'm
talk
like,
about
damn
it.
Man, I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, I think that's it though.
Yeah.
I think we should just
shut the hell up and let people
especially
listen.
Especially considering you got to buy an hour's worth of audio here to listen to. Hopefully you got a long drive and you enjoy this.
Or you're sitting on the crapper and you're going to be sitting there for a while. That's all I'm saying.
That's only 15, 20 minutes tops.
Hey, some people might be slightly constipated or be reading a very good book. Some people do read on the crapper.
Sometimes. Hiding away for half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah,
you've eaten
that burrito.
Or you've eaten that baby-sized burrito. I was just getting ready to say that. All right. So, enjoy this episode
with
Noah Robinson from Bleed the Sky.
Okay, bye. Okay. Bye now. Goodbye. Bye.
Goodbye.
Noah.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing great. One second.
Sure, no problem.
See if I can fix this audio. They all do. Are you there?
We are still here.
I'm so sorry. We are. My Oklahoma cell phone does not like West Coast cell phone towers, apparently.
Darn that Oklahoma cell phone.
I guess it really doesn't like it.
Yeah, it really does not. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get to a place where I can hear you guys okay.
No, that's fine.
Well, if you want, you could call us back in a couple minutes.
Okay, well, I can hear you guys now. Okay, I say let's go till we can't, and then I can call you guys back if we lose it.
Perfect.
Well, Noah, I'd like to welcome you to the House of Noise podcast, and thanks for coming on.
For sure.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on. This is great.
Well, I was going to ask you, how did the show go? How are you feeling?
Actually, I was going to say, yeah, how are you feeling? I mean, we heard that you were sick.
Yeah, well, and age is a son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. So I did officially get sick. I literally, I don't know if it's the drier climate out here that I'm not used to. And you can probably hear a little bit of the strain in my voice. It doesn't hurt. It's nothing like that.
Right.
But yeah, I wasn't sick. I literally just woke up the day before the Sacramento show, the first day of tour, and couldn't even speak.
Oh my
God. Had no voice whatsoever. Yeah. And you know, I'm very, very anal retentive about, you know, got to drink my hot tea. I do my, you know, my Melissa Cross vocal exercises, and I do everything absolutely by the book, minus smoking cigarettes, which doesn't help, but I don't, that didn't have any factor in.
Right.
What I'm getting at is everything up to that day was spot on. We were tight. We were all loose. We were feeling great. And then I woke up that day and was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like it just came out of nowhere. Just hit us like a truck.
Wow.
And so I told the guys, I said, I'm going to go back to my hotel. I'm going to shut the door. You guys make the decision. I don't want to be part of that decision. You guys need to as the group. So yeah, collectively, everybody just decided, look, if we drive all the way up to Sacramento and he can't do it, then one, we traveled 16 hours, you know, to play the show and still might not be able to do it. And we'd rather, you know, not risk my health. Cause at that point we didn't know if I was getting sick, if I was getting a sinus infection or bronchitis, or we just didn't know. Mm-hmm. So I was like, if I feel bad tomorrow, I'll go to the doctor. I'll go to urgent care. We'll get fixed up.
Right.
But I woke up the next day and I was feeling 100% better than I was the day before, but still not 100%. And then yesterday I felt really good going in. I was mainly just nervous because my confidence just took a lethal blow. You know, I was like, oh, I'm going to kill it all tour, this and that. And then that happened. And I was just like, shit, super stressful, super frustrating. And Bleed has never canceled a show in the history of this band, 15 years of touring. We have never canceled a show. So for us to come back and our first show back in 10 years, we had to cancel. I was just beating myself up. I feel much, much better now. The show last night went off without a hitch.
Nice.
And I think it's only going to get tighter. It's only going to get better, but it was great last night. That was a very spiritual moment for us, you know, 10 years in the making. There was a lot of emotional points during the set where you could see the guys turning around to their cabs and kind of wiping their eyes. It was exciting. So everything went great.
Well, the great thing is it's almost the original lineup too. So it's
really
come around full circle. You guys have come back together.
And I know
Austin's really busy too.
The power lineup, then in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because Dave Colbert, who's playing bass with us now, was actually on guitar and actively part of the writing process for Murder the Dance. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the guitars that you hear on Murder the Dance were Dave's riffs, and Dave helped structure, and he's an amazing vocalist as well. So when we got to the point where we were regrouping and we had the bass position open, I told the guys, I said, there's nobody I'd rather have. He's not a bassist. He's a guitarist, but this guy is so talented that he will pick up a bass and within the time that we need him to, he will be a better bass player than most bassists in metal. He's just that naturally talented. So yeah, with it being Wayne and Austin and I from the old days, and then bringing Dave in, who was already, you know, a brother to us and we had written with in the past, then Kevin Garcia coming in was kind of a shoe-in because we've known Kevin as long as this band's been together. We were in, you know, he was in another band here in San Diego called Odd Kick that we were friends with and we always played with. And Kevin's a phenomenal producer. He's a phenomenal guitarist. So we just kind of looked at it and said, you know, for the first time in the history of this band, there is absolutely not a weak link. Like everybody in the band now is the best at what they could possibly have on their instrument. But then equally as important, you know, Wayne is our manager. He's in the band. He's a business guru. Kevin is our tech guy. Dave is helping, you know, carry the burden of vocals on stage. You know, Austin is Austin. Shit, you can't say enough good stuff about that guy.
Oh my God, I know.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Considering that I'm a big Devil Driver fan myself, and he's like, and he's an incredible drum player. I mean, just like,
oh god, have you ever met Austin?
No,
we'd love to.
Oh my god, get ready! You in your life, you've never met anybody goofier and funnier and more genuine than that guy. He is arguably one of my favorite people in the world. Just good day, bad day, doesn't matter. That guy just cartwheels into a room and is like, "Hey, buddy, what's going on?" He's like a cartoon character. He's like an animated person. There's nobody like him.
Oh,
he sounds like the metal version of Dave Grohl.
Oh God! Wow! Can I use that?
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that is so accurate. Hold on, Dave. They just gave Austin his what do you call it, his moniker? He's the Dave Grohl of metal. His personality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, that's Dave. He's in the hotel room next to me. I was like, oh god, you got to hear this.
That's funny. Oh my god, that's awesome.
I mean, I've watched tons of videos of Dave Grohl, and that man he doesn't turn it down at all. No. He's just constantly on, going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the coffee. And it's coffee.
Yeah, and you watch a guy like that, and you're like, how is a guy? And Dave, and you're right. The comparison from Dave Grohl to Austin is uncanny because you're like, how the hell are you playing that? A.
Right.
B. How did you write it?
Yeah.
C. How are you playing it that well and going off like you're going? You know, like it's just a combination. You watch the guy.
Yeah.
From day one when I met Austin and he was 19, he was that good.
Yeah.
At 19, wow. So it's not like we were like, okay, well, we got this drummer. I guess he's gonna play. Like he made us, like forced us to step up our abilities too, because he was just naturally that good. Yeah. We were just like, holy shit, this guy, like he's without question the most talented musician in Bleed the Sky. But it was exciting because we were like, okay, we're gonna play stuff like this, and he was like, nope, we're gonna play stuff like this, and he just hits those kick drums, and yeah. You're like, oh, okay, I guess I gotta learn how to write like that now,
right?
So
exactly.
Yeah, he is constantly the driving, challenging force where, no, it's not heavy enough. No, it's not fast enough. No, it's not tight enough. When we're all like, man, that sounds good. He's like, yeah, but does it kill people when they listen to it? Is it just fucking so heavy?
Like, wanna melt the faces.
Yeah, exactly. He's that guy, and we absolutely love it. We'd have it no other way.
Oh, man, I love it.
You guys have gone through a lot of different band members, too. I mean, was that what was kind of the reasoning behind that? I mean, is it just not going to fit or, you know?
Yeah, I think the main reason throughout the years that we had lineup changes like we did is the finances. I mean, in metal, it is so difficult to ever reach a point. I would call it like a comfort level.
Yes,
with finances, it's a very expensive, quote unquote hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but with that being said, it's very expensive. It's very physically taxing. You know, you're always away from your family, especially if you're touring like we were. Yeah. We were road dogs back in the day.
Yes.
And that's just not for everybody. Right. You could love the music. You could love the people. End of the day, if you just truly would rather be at your home in bed every night, then it's not for you.
Right.
And, you know, and your best friend in the world that you've been buddies with and have played, you know, music with since third grade, you don't really know that side of that person until you expose them to it. You know, there's nothing else in life that exposes that element of, hey, you're going to be away from home for 4 months. Yeah. You got to quit your job. Yeah. Your girlfriend might cheat on you. Yeah. You're not going to see your kid's birthday. You know, there's so much that goes into it that is so difficult for a lot of people, including myself, but we're all in a good enough position now where that's just simply not an issue. We've matured. You know, we're happy in our relationships and our careers, our personal careers at home are in a spot that allows us to come right back to it whenever we come home. So it's great. But yeah, as far as the lineup changes, that was it. It was never a personality thing. You know, you hear bands that, oh, the singer's the only original member because he's an asshole and he just hires new people and then they get tired of it and they quit and he just hires new people. Right. It is absolutely nothing like that. Like everybody that's been in this band and been a part of this band has been family, and 90% of them, I say that like there's 100 people, shit. But I would say literally everybody but maybe one person is still family. Like last night,
mm-hmm.
our our sampler, Puck, was at our show, came out and hung out. You know, he was on the Paradigm and Entropy record. And he was standing right there at the front of the stage and, you know, just tears in his eyes. Aww. Us too. It was super emotional. So, I mean, we're all still like family. We all still get together. And my bass player from Murder the Dance, Ryan, he called me this morning and was like, dude, I watched the show on YouTube. Holy shit. And we talked for like an hour. That's He's like, I love what you guys did here. And I love this and I'm so happy. And so there's literally not been a, you know, fist fight. Fuck you. I'm out of the band. That scenario never happened. It was bands that are able to keep that lineup under that pressure are so rare, but also when finances are there and the finances start to happen, it helps ease that burden.
Sure.
It's like, it's like a marriage. I mean, well, look at most of the time when people get divorced, it's because of money. So same kind
of concept. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Last night we went to see a band at a venue out here, and there was a young man there who played bass for a smaller band, and he kept on saying, I'm just a pizza guy. I'm, you know, when he's not on the playing with him, he's doing pizza. And I'm like, dude, like most bands, you know, music is not their moneymaker, especially in the rock metal category.
You're absolutely right.
You know? We've talked to so many bands and everybody's got day jobs and you can't survive without it.
Yeah. And we are no exception to that. I mean, we are exactly the same. We all go home and we are, you know, restaurant managers and we are mortgage brokers and we are carpenters and I mean, we do it. The difference now is we again are in a position to be able to and have worked for the last several years to be at the position in our careers where we're comfortable at home, we're happy and content with our jobs, and they also allow us to be able to go out. You know, like my boss was like, for a month leading up to it, he's like, dude, I'm so excited. I can't wait for you to get back. And I'm going to be following you guys online. And like, what, who does that?
Right. Exactly.
They're like, no, you're expendable, man. I'm just fuck you. Leave and I'll find. No, but literally every one of our like bosses or our careers is supportive and is excited and behind us. And that really, really helps a lot.
That is awesome. And that is rare. I actually want to go back to the lineup type thing, but you know, when I was doing my research, it seemed like right at the same time when you guys broke up, your old guitarist had passed away. And I thought at first that maybe that coincided with the breakup, but I don't think that was the case.
No, if you look at the timeline, that incident happened within a couple months of the band kind of deciding to take a break. That was the thing too. And I'll cover both those points, but I want to be clear because we never were on social media. We just kind of dropped off the planet.
Right.
But within the group, we never said, that's it, bleed's done. We literally just said, man, we got to get our personal lives sorted out first. We will come back to this.
And it just happened to take a little while.
it happened to take 10 years. And you know, if it took 10 years, we're happy with where we are now.
Exactly. Right.
But the Rob situation was definitely a big blow that prevented us from probably coming back to it sooner. So we made the decision to take a break, but then Rob passing, we kind of went, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was a really hard situation. And it was something that we thought was getting better. We thought his substance abuse was getting better and we'd heard that it was, you know what I mean? It just sours the taste in your mouth and just sucks all the wind out of whatever sail was there.
Substance abuse takes away from so many people and it's affected a lot of lives, not just the people that do it, but everybody that's connected to them. And it's just a sad, sad truth that we live in, you know? And
yeah. The thing that sucks, and you know, anytime if you, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever been close with somebody that's suffered with that and this and that, but it's the part that was really lingering. And until we all kind of got back together about 3 years ago and brought all our separate stories of Rob and what we went through individually with him to the table, we didn't really see the big picture. But you know, there's always that constant, fuck, why didn't he call me? Or shit, he tried to call me and I didn't pick up. You know, there's things like that that you constantly badger yourself with.
Yeah.
But you
and
can't.
So, yeah,
you can't.
That was a, that was a, that was such a, such a tough deal. And again, you know, when Dave was involved, in Murder the Dance, when he came into Bleed the Sky, he brought Rob with him. He and Rob were in the same band together, Brotherhood, out of San Antonio. And so we literally lost both our guitarists and then got both of those guys in on guitar. And it was a pretty smooth transition actually. And then when Dave ended up having to leave for family reasons to go back to San Antonio, Rob stayed with us. So I can't, you know, I can't help but think, you know, we didn't know Rob, but we had known Dave a long time, years of playing shows with him, but we'd never met Rob. So, I mean, you got to put yourself in his shoes too.
Oh, sure.
He flies across the country to join a band that doesn't make any money, and is just struggling hand over foot. And then the only person that he really connects with and knows had to leave. So he's kind of here. I'm not justifying anything, but you know, you try to make sense of it and go,
right.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that had to have been rough. You know, like I couldn't imagine being that scared as an adult. That's scary as shit. And California is terrifying because everything's expensive.
Yeah.
It's always
difficult. Oh my God. Yes.
Ridiculous. I live in San Diego.
But now we're in a good spot. Every night we go on stage is for Rob. We loved the dude. He was one of, if not arguably, the best guitarists I've ever seen in my life. Just a natural talent that you can't learn. You can't teach somebody to be that good at guitar. He was insanely good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this album, we dedicated this album to him, and every night we go out and every night we hear people come up and say, fucking Rob would have loved that dude, you know, and just the emotion that's in that and everything we've been through to lead to this point, I think is only making it better and making it more justified to us. Like anytime we think, are we doing the right thing? Is this worth it? And this and that, within seconds, we see, yes, it was worth it, and this is why.
Somebody comes up and confirms that to you.
Right.
So you know you're on the right path.
It is so uncanny, but literally anytime that has happened, whoever it happens to in the band turns to another band member and goes, dude, literally, I was just thinking about Rob, and then this kid brought me a shot and goes, Rob and I used to do shots, so I'm getting you a shot. It's just so that strange that it's happening like that. And it's not just with Rob. It's with, you know, just literally Paradigm and Entropy saved my life. Let me buy you a drink.
Wow.
And this song is one of my favorites. And I met you guys when I was 10 years old.
Wow. Like you him know, and I are. Yeah. Jim and I are both getting chills.
Yeah. I'm getting chills right now. My hair's all raising up. That is nuts.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And the momentum that the album has is. Yeah. Anyway, God, it's cool. We could not be happier. This is the high point of our lives, you know, shy of our children's births and our wedding days. You know, this is absolutely the pinnacle. It does not get better for us.
Well, I was going to ask, the album has been out for about a month now, right? And so how has the response been to it? But it sounds like it's doing amazing.
Well, the album has actually only been out since January 17th.
Okay, so
The pre-order was back in December.
Days. Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, the pre-order was back in December. Yeah, we dropped the single Serpent a little bit before that.
Yeah.
Or between the pre-order and the release of the album. What was your question? I'm sorry. I totally interrupted you.
I think you kind of already answered it. It's just how's the response been to the new album?
Unbelievable. Like unbelievably positive. And I don't even really know how to express it in words. Like if you could see my face right now, that you wouldn't even need to ask that question. Just holy shit, it's been great. And you know, and you love every record that you've ever written. Generally, you know, when it comes out, you're like, oh, this is the shit. This is so good. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that anybody else is gonna like it.
Right.
You know, exactly. And this one has had the same positive reflection from fans that Paradigm did. Murder the Dance, not so much. We loved it. Fans didn't. We get it now. We stepped aside and went, this is what they didn't love about it. So let's not make those mistakes again.
Right.
This is what they loved about Paradigm. Let's try to focus more towards that. So this album was more of a, what did we do right on Paradigm? Let's do that again. And then let's also make it heavy as shit, way heavier than anything we've ever done. And I think we captured that. But again, the fans are comparing it to Paradigm and saying it's better than Paradigm. And for us, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, the album art is pretty freaky. It's cool as hell. I mean, I want to buy, I don't know, is this going to be, are you guys thinking about doing this on vinyl possibly in the future? Or
yes,
this,
absolutely. Yeah. The vinyls we wanted to have ready for the pre-order bundles as well. But there was some miscommunication with, you know, pick the color of disc you guys want for vinyl. Okay, we want that one. Cool, we'll get it in production. And then when we were ready to do the pre-order bundles, they're like, oh, that one's on back order. We'll have it ready in 2 months. It'll be shit. Okay. Yeah. So yes, they are coming. Absolutely they're coming. And we're gonna also print up some actual like full size posters of the album art and do some variations of it intentionally.
Oh my God.
Just cause people are flipping out about the art, and Mark Erskine, is the dude that did all the album art, and the guy just absolutely killed it. He reached out to me. He's European, but he reached out to me on Facebook and was like, always loved your band. So glad to hear the announcement. Let me know if there's anything you can do. And I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And within 10 seconds of looking through this guy's roster of stuff that he's done and the caliber, I hit our guitarist Kevin up and I was like, dude, this is the guy. There's no question. Kevin's like, fuck yeah, I get him. And so we kind of said too, you know, his idea was, if you guys, because we let him hear the music too, like before anybody else had heard it, you know, especially with artists, I wanted to send it to him and see what vibe he got from it too. And then he and I kind of collaborated on it, but he was like, dude, this is a much, much more mature Big Brother version of Paradigm. So in that vein, let's focus around the cover of Paradigm that had that skeletal winged creature on it.
Yeah.
And he said, if the album musically is more mature, but still has a lot of those elements of Paradigm, then let's make this creature be the same creature, but a more evolved, mature version of that same creature. You know, it was very adolescent in the cover of Paradigm. Now it's all grown up and this is what it looked, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so that was
kind of his approach to it. And I was like, dude, fucking killed it. That's exactly what it needed.
Right. I mean, it just, to me, it's like a cross between a dragon, a bat, like a sorcerer, you know,
octopus
something. Yeah, exactly. It just encompasses everything. But if you think about the title, you know, This Way Lies Madness, if I saw that thing, you know, would I want to continue on? Would I want to go that direction? If I were, like, I'd have to be crazy. So it kind of.
That is absolutely right. And if you notice on the album cover too, little, really, really tiny down there figure. In front of the creature, there's a hooded figure.
Yeah.
I was actually just noticing that.
Yeah. So being the, you know, the sci-fi nerds that all of us are, when Mark and I were talking about the design too, he's like, I'm kind of picturing like Lord of the Rings, like that path when Sam took to Mordor was a path of madness. Like this way literally lies madness. He was like, so let's create a little figure down here that he is going where that creature is and he's not stopping. So it absolutely fit visually. I've never been more happy with an album art cover relating to what you're about to hear.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much there, and it definitely, that's the first thing I thought of when I actually saw that picture was Lord of the Rings. Just like,
yeah. Awesome. Oh God, I'm gonna tell Mark, you said that Mark's gonna be like, oh my God, kill me. That's the best thing I've ever heard. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I really did. And it's like, you know, the fantasy, that fantasy art of like castles and dragons and knights, you know, and especially if you're someone that like plays
Mark is a diehard like H.P. Lovecraft style of really landscape driven and things like that. And so he just absolutely knocked it out of the park. Our stuff going forward, that guy is going to be heavily involved because he and I instantly spoke the same language. There was just no, you know, maybe try this font instead of that. Maybe here and there we did that. But if that's the struggle, then oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes when you deal with artists that are, you know, they view their art like you view your art. I don't like somebody telling me that I need to change something in the song that's not in the band.
Right.
So artists also have the same kind of self-assurance and kind of almost cockiness where they're like, this is my art. I don't want to change it. This is what it's supposed to be. But Mark and I literally just spoke the same language in any alterations. There was just zero hesitation. Yeah. It was great.
Wow. That is so awesome. Yeah. You could definitely tell him that he did a great job. I definitely want it in a big poster.
I certainly will tell him that, and I'll tell the guys too, because we've all just, every time we see the album cover, like literally yesterday, we're setting up the merch booth for the first time in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're walking by and the CD's sitting there. And we're just like, God, look at that. Just stop and look at that. How cool is that album cover? Like, you know?
Yeah.
I wish it's very surreal.
Well, you guys are coming to Michigan, and I'm really sad to say that we already had plans. We have an on-site interview going on at the machine shop in Flint, so... Unfortunately, we probably won't be able to make it out there. But
I know, I'm sad.
You know, I was going to ask you, this tour runs about roughly 2 months, right? And then are you guys taking a break?
It's about a month. About 3.5 to 4 weeks-ish.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, was there going to be a second leg where you're going to do more dates later on? Because I know you probably got to get back, do your work. You got jobs.
Family.
Kids. So.
We plan on a second tour cycle. I don't know if it'll be as extensive as this one and cover as much ground, but we've also got a really big, strong following, East Coast.
Right.
So we definitely want to try to set up maybe another week and a half run where we just hit all those hotspots that we've got fans constantly. You know, when are you coming to Massachusetts? When are you coming to Connecticut? Why aren't you guys in Florida? You know, North Carolina loves you guys. Come to Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So that area always did really well for us. If we're able to work out the logistics of it and the finances of it, then absolutely. But yeah, if financially it makes sense for us to tour, we will tour as much as possible. And our day-to-day jobs understand that. And our families understand that. And they're 100% supportive, you know.
Do you guys have any plans to do any festivals this summer, or
are they trying anyway?
We're gonna try to. Summers really are gonna be difficult for Bleed, at least at the moment. Austin's still actively in Double Driver. We're kind of that's a big one where we absolutely and are happy to work around their schedule. I mean, that's his bread and butter.
Yeah.
And get it, and we're happy and supportive, so it's never an animosity that, oh, we need to do this, you need to make it, no, fuck that.
Right,
like
right.
That's your thing, we'll work around that no matter what. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one. And then summertime for us too, you know, like I have my kids, two of my kids all summer long, and that's basically the big block that I get them. And then one of my other guys has his son also during that time. So summers, at least for a while, probably the next few years, are going to be very, very difficult for us to do anything. And that sucks. For that reason, it sucks.
That's
summer festival. So we're open to it though. You know, if it's a weekend here and there, you know, just fly in, you know, fly out and do Bakken Festival, you know, stuff like that. We are all about entertaining the idea of it. Let's see if we can make it work. We're unfortunately not geared right now to do much more than this. If we do, it's going to be little short runs here and there, but we're absolutely open to it. It has to make sense.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it works anymore, is because it is so costly to tour and do shows. You do kind of have to do things that work for you, that make sense, because it takes so much of your time and money and resources and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So, because you have an inside man with Devil Driver, is there plans of maybe trying to get on tour with them, or is that not a possibility because of the label?
No, the label wouldn't have anything to do with it. I honestly don't think Austin would want to pull double duty every night.
I mean, that would suck.
You know, we've all heard Devil Driver, but on top of that, playing Bleed the Sky is no easy feat.
No.
So I don't know. I don't blame him. I don't know if I would have it in me to go up and play 2 hours worth of, you know, brutal metal every single night.
Yeah.
We would be open to it, and we would be more than happy to, but that would 100% be up to Austin.
Right.
And I don't see him wanting to risk
injuring himself.
Physically just pushing himself too hard. That's just not wise to do. That would be the main contention. But we're absolutely open to touring with and playing with whoever wants to. I mean, right. Yeah, right. we have our dream list of who we would like to, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that we didn't think about mm-hmm. this band. And when that opportunity comes up, we go, oh shit, mm-hmm. yeah, let's get that. Let's do it.
Well, since you mentioned your dream list too, who's on your dream list to tour with?
Oh God. and this does not mean we would be headlining by any
right,
stretch.
Right.
But just if I could put together a tour package, mm-hmm. I love the band Ginger.
Oh,
and all
I
of
do
us
too.
Do. Ginger. Yeah. Ginger is incredible. They're so good live. The musicianship and again, they're one of the biggest rising metal bands.
Yeah, they
now.
Are.
So that
yeah.
would obviously be great for us. But also, we're good friends with the guys in a band from Pennsylvania called Last 10 Seconds of Life.
Oh.
And they are, I don't know if you guys have heard them, but
oh, we'll have to look them
my
up.
God,
yeah.
the production value of their records is insanely good. They're great guys. They love our band. We love their band. That's a big thing for us. So yeah, it would be us, Ginger, Last 10. And then we're also good friends with the guys in Swedish band called Viljarta. I don't know if you guys have heard of them.
No, I love Swedish metal.
Yes, beautiful. But they are very Meshuggah influenced.
Oh,
so it's those genty, just who writes shit like this?
Right.
The American bands don't write like this.
No.
But actually the two of the guys in Viljarta, we would love to tour with Viljarta, but the other group that two of the guys are in, their drummer and guitarist, also have another group called Humanity's Last Breath. And they are just one of the most savage bands ever, period. So yeah, that would
familiar.
Be my dream
yeah.
lineup. Us,
yeah.
Humanity's Last Breath, Last 10 Seconds of Life, and Ginger.
Yeah, we'll have to check those other bands out. I know I've heard Ginger, and they actually came to the Machine Shop.
They've been around a few times.
Yeah, I believe if not once,
yeah.
maybe twice. I know Devil Driver's been there twice. I saw
yes.
Devil Driver at the Machine Shop.
That was like the big tour that really put Ginger on the map in the States, was that Devil Driver tour.
Yeah.
Them coming to the States, Devil Driver just absolutely started a machine that can't be stopped.
Yeah, they've been playing they've been playing the festivals too, I believe. I think I've seen their name a few times.
Yeah.
They kill it at those festivals. I mean, if you can get your hands on some of those, like, granted it's, you know, 6, 8, 10 hours worth
right.
of music, but you can find YouTube videos of, you know, like watch this festival in its entirety. You can watch as the day goes, how the crowd reaction is and how the sound is and performance and everything. And then when Ginger hits the stage, it's like a completely different world. That crowd just goes absolutely nuts for them. It's kind of like when, you know, Gojira is coming up.
Mm.
You know, it's like everybody's kind of saving their energy, and when Gojira comes up, they just
yes.
absolutely destroy it.
I freaking love
we
Gojira.
We just saw them over the summer and we lost our shit.
I love
awesome.
Gojira.
It was such a good show.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go back, and if a dream band to tour with, I think
yes.
collectively for all of us, would be Gojira, without question.
Oh,
if we ever
amazing.
Even got offered an opportunity to play anything with Gojira, we would quit our jobs and
yes.
do whatever
oh, yeah.
we had to
yes.
do.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't?
Are you guys playing tonight too? I think you are.
Yes,
you?
We're playing tonight in San Diego at
okay.
Brick by Brick, and then tomorrow night in Hollywood at the Whiskey. And then that's the last of our California dates. And then we start heading east. And we got a date in
Tuscan, Arizona.
Yeah.
El Paso, Montana.
Yep. And then, yeah. Austin, Dallas, Oklahoma City. Day off. Thank God. So we can all hang out at my
yes.
place and watch the Super Bowl together and throw down.
Nice.
And then, yeah. And then we just head north, and we just have a shitload of dates up in Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Ohio. Which was always a really great market for us too. So yeah, it's gonna be a pretty hardcore run, but
yeah.
we are really, really excited, and the momentum is in our favor right now. So we're running with it.
How's it been touring with Skin Lab? Because they're another band that's been around for a while too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last night was our first date with them. Obviously, we had to back out of the show in Sacramento, which was supposed to be the first night. So
right.
last night was our first night with them, and you know, first night on tour is, hey, I'm Noah. Hey, I'm Noah. Hey, I'm Noah. And nobody remembers anybody's names, and everything's
yeah.
a shit show, and everybody's scrambling. Oh, we're 5 minutes late. We got to hurry. Come on, guys. And, you know, tonight it'll be a different story. We'll get there. We'll be dialed in. Whiskey will be even tighter. And so as it goes along, we'll get to know the guys better in this and that. But from what I've met of the guys, they're fantastic dudes so far, and have been super accommodating. I mean, that you know, we all, you know, they're, again, they're legendary. I mean, Skin Lab had been around before, long before mm-hmm. Bleed ever formed, and we knew who they were and dug their stuff. But for them to come back also, like, and release their new album Venomous, which is absolutely killer.
Yeah.
Like right before we released This Way Lies Madness, and on the same label, we're on the same label, Art Is War Records now.
Yes.
Yeah, just all the components are there for this to be fantastic.
I almost forgot to ask you, when you guys did your demo, when you recorded it, you had help with from Tom Hazard. Are you just still in contact with Tom? Because we're actually friends with Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, we still talk to Tom often, and every now and then we kind of trade business here and there. We don't have any direct business relationship with him as far as the label goes.
Right.
But he's definitely still an active part in our contacts for sure. And we all like him. I mean, we've obviously, you know, he was the one who kind of put us in contact with Ben Schiegel at Spider yeah. Studios, who is the reason why Paradigm turned out as good as it did, production value wise. And so, yeah, I mean, Tom's always been a guy that's been involved. He wasn't involved in this album, so to speak,
right.
Directly, but yeah, he's always been a point of contact, and we still keep in touch with him as much as possible.
Yeah, he's a bit busy right now working with David Ellefson and doing that little stuff. Side project with him. And obviously Ellefson's out in Europe right now touring with Bad Wolves and Five Finger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I thought it was funny that you knew Tom and we knew Tom. So I just wanted to bring it up, see if you guys were still in contact with him.
Yeah.
But
I think everybody in the music scene knows Tom too. That guy's a social butterfly. And if you meet him once, there's not another dude like that anywhere.
No, he's got a pretty good memory when it comes to remembering people too. Because he remembered us the second and third time that we had met him. So it was like, you know.
And that's a big, I mean, that's a key component to being successful in this industry is having that kind of memory retention, which you're right. He's got.
Well, I mean, the industry in of itself isn't as large as people think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's
not.
Why you have to be careful what you say and do, because you don't want to burn bridges because, you know.
You're really absolutely right.
Yourself over in the end. I was going to ask you, your logo, Bleed the Sky, it kind of it looks like it's melting in the shape of a heart. That's when I that's what I think of. It's so super like badass. I just love it. Like either a heart or like wings. Like that, you know, like
was it intentional or just kind of?
Yeah,
the way it
I was
turned
at
out.
Like.
Yeah, no, it was absolutely not intentional. We hired a design team called Imperfect Designs, and they specifically deal with band logos, band emblems, things like that. Like that's 100% what they're focused on. So we were like, okay, that's what we need. We've got a new sound. We need the new logo to match with it. We need the new emblem. We want it to be just a whole new rebrand. And it was absolutely not intentional, but when we saw it, we were just like, holy shit. Again, it was kind of that same feeling as seeing that album, just like, this is all going to work. So, and the way, not even the placement of the logo on the album cover, but just the style of that album cover with that artwork is so perfect.
Yeah, it really is.
And the fans absolutely love it too. And that's not the first time that anybody said that was it intentional. It kind of looks like a heart. Like we absolutely, and none of us even thought that at all. We were looking at it from just like a strictly design and a layout point of view. And we were like, holy shit, that's tough. That looks more like a deathcore band or something, you know, more death metal almost.
Right.
So yeah, there was zero, at least on our end. Now maybe on their design end, that was their intention.
Right.
But on our end, we didn't for a second influence it in that direction at all. It just turned out like that. We were like, killer, let's do it.
It's very killer, and it does. It totally works with the art, and it does remind me of all the like the European metal bands. Like that's kind of how they kind of do the same, you know, thing. So stylistically, it absolutely fits 100%.
I think you should start telling people that you did influence it. So we called these people up and we told them we wanted to be nice and lovely, but metal.
Yeah.
Lovely, but intense.
You guys remember when back in the early 2000s, when every band tried to sound like Killswitch and they were just super terrible. Killswitch was the one that sounded like Killswitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. We wanted our album to also go back to that kind of emo new wave of American heavy metal. We just love Hearts, you know?
Yeah, we just love Hearts.
Yeah, this album is really about just bringing people together and everybody hug everybody. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
As long as they're, you know, while they're thrashing each other and pushing each other out of the way.
Oh, yeah. That is exactly what I'm going to say next time somebody asks. I'm just going to run with this.
Right.
Yep, exactly. We just want to spread our love all over the room. Whoa, all over. That sounded bad.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
Oh man! Now I know you have kids, and they're fairly young. But do they ever do you ever catch them listening to your music or the style of music you guys play, like rock?
Not all of them. My kids are from age 13 to 9, and I have 4, and they're all right in there. So they're kind of at that age, and I remember being at that age. You know, you kind of just listen to what's around, what your friends are listening to or what mom's got on the radio. Right. And, you know, also at, like you're asking about, yes, what dad's listening to, too. But metal, especially like our genre of metal, that is not like a pleasant style for a young child to listen to. You kind of have to start, you know, almost with grunge and then kind of work into harder rock and heavier stuff and then metal. Like it's very rare that younger children, especially, you know, the age of my kids, mm-hmm. are just like, oh my god, I fucking love that, you know. That's just not natural. It's a very spastic and there's a lot going on. There's no, you know, it's not like Nicki Minaj and Billie Eilish, all the shit they can just sing to and dance around. But all that being said, all 4 of my children and our guitarist Kevin's daughter mm-hmm. did vocals on the chorus of the track Ghost.
Nice.
So those clean vocals, just really ambient and very dark, the harmonies and stuff. That's all our children singing
very
that.
Cool.
And we just, even it doesn't sound like a choir of children a lot. We kind of wanted it to have a darker vibe also, but we wanted them to be part of it and they were all on board and they loved it. And so, you know, to be able to say, you know, when they're older, you know, oh, I got to sing with my dad on this. That's and, you know, awesome. Kevin's daughter, oh, my dad helped record, you know, so I could do this. We thought that'd be something that would really be a long lasting thing for them. And we want them to be excited about it and be supportive. And what better way than to involve them, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's a memory they'll always cherish.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, God, I couldn't imagine if I would have had that opportunity, you know, like the music or not. Just the fact that they were able to mm-hmm. hang out with dad back in his studio where they're never allowed to go, you know, and be part of it and to see the process. You know, I was showing him, okay, this is how we edit. See, if I click here and I drag this a little bit and I bump this up, see how it sounds different. And I'm going to mute this one so you can only hear. They were like, oh my God, that's so cool. They dove into the whole process of editing with me and the recording and you know, double tracking. They were like, why am I singing it twice? I'm like, because just do it and then I'll show you. And then they'd track it twice and I'd say, this is what it sounds like with just one. They were like, that sounds cool. And then I would unmute their other track and they're like, whoa. I'm like, yeah, you know. So it was so exciting for me and for Kevin to get to bring our children in and actively make them a part of it. That's something I'll never forget and I hope they never do too.
This is the origin story of creating a monster, you know that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I just asked because I know like some, you know, parents like will go to festivals and they'll bring their kids and, you know, like they'll be rocking out and stuff like that. So I just was curious, like what your thoughts were on that being a parent, you know, would you, you know,
and I 100% am supportive as long as the parents are, you know, being responsible. It's their, you know, it's your duty as a parent to, you know, teach your kids, hey, it's not okay to say this kind of stuff in music. So I kind of try to, even though I write about pretty dark matter and dark subject matter, I also try to write it in a way, you know, I really toned the language back a lot on this record compared to previous. And I tried to make it where, you know, my kids wouldn't get in trouble at school. They were wearing, you know, one of our band shirts or if they were listening to our music. And, you know, unfortunately at school, most schools won't allow you to wear shirts that says bleed on it. So there's that.
Exactly.
That, that, you know, that's nothing we can do about that. But again, we tried to make it where it's acceptable to them. And we're trying to be as responsible as we can and set a good example for them. Like, look, it's not bad to vent emotions like this and to talk about these exactly. things and to get it off your, and it's not bad to get so angry you punch a wall. That's not bad. You right. have to have a release for your emotions. This is how daddy does it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
exactly.
So trying to teach them, you know, don't direct that anger, you know, at your wife. Don't direct yeah. that anger at your little brother. Don't direct that anger at your boss yeah. or some nobody that you've never met in line at Walmart because you had a bad day. All of a sudden is, you know, put in a spot where you're being an asshole to them for no reason other than you are stressed out.
Right.
So it's really cool because they're seeing that there are outlets to harness that, those emotions and to embrace them. I mean, you know, things I've gone through in my life, I'm now able to use as an example for how, at least one way therapeutically, you know, my kids, it might save them, you know,
right.
therapy.
Right. Oh yeah.
Or if they get into that as an outlet, it certainly did that for me because if I hadn't had music as an outlet, I'm afraid to think of where I would
right.
mentally and emotionally be.
Yeah.
It was very therapeutic and very emotionally releasing. So yeah, I think we're handling it responsibly. And I, you know, none of our kids are just full blown, you know, death metal fans yet. But I think seeing us go through this process now that they're older and them mm-hmm. actively being participants,
yeah,
I can't help but think that, you know, when they listen to heavy metal in the future and as they get older, they're going to know that process and it's going to make sense to them.
Yeah.
Right. And they'll be able to kind of play all that in. Yeah. It's really exciting. It's a lot different than it ever was before. It was all about us. It was all yeah. selfish driven. We just want to write metal and take over the world, blah, blah, blah. Well, now we have a completely different approach and yeah, we couldn't be happier about the involvement that the families have and support that they've given us, all of it.
Well, I'd say odds are they'll probably end up doing a different style of music than metal, but is, you know, music's music.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I won't, you know, unless they're up there, you know, doing Miley Cyrus shit and
amen.
Mumble rap.
Yeah. Mumble rap.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. You know, there's certain genres that just, they just right. are like nails on a chalkboard yeah. with right. everybody. And
amen to that.
I got a story from yesterday. I was at the gas station and, the guy had a CD playing. It was literally repeating. I'm like, I think your CD's skipping. He goes, no, this is from the festival a couple of years ago, whatever festival. I'm like, do you really listen to this?
Oh my.
Like, it yeah. really sounded like yeah, it just was skipping.
Yeah, it just sounds like turkey calls. And then, yeah, just terrible. I mean, because that's just like, we don't like earlier, whenever I stepped in to tell Dave what you guys had said about Austin comparing him to Dave Grohl. Dave was in there listening to like the Cranberries.
Awesome.
You know, like
yeah.
we just love music and good talent. We don't yeah. get in the van and just crank death metal and headbang the whole right. time. Like we get in the van and we listen to Nine Inch Nails or we listen to Marilyn Manson or we listen to Portishead or we listen right. to this and this, you know, we love 21 Pilots and good yeah. music is good music regardless of the genre, but certain genres are just simply absolute shit and there's yeah. no talent. Amen. At all in it. I won't get into specifics. We all right. know who sure. we're talking about.
Sure. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Hey, there's
exactly.
days that she'll pop on Merle Haggard, you know.
I freaking love Merle.
See, that's my roots. I'm a yeah. Midwest boy. I grew up in Panhandle, yeah. Oklahoma, a small farm town. So, yeah, it was Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard, mm-hmm. Chris Christopherson, all that good old shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's me. I'm Okie from Muskogee. I love Merle Haggard. I love, you know, Willie Nelson, like all, like, the true country greats, you know, Johnny Cash and just, yeah. you know.
That old really good bluegrass stuff. Yes. That stuff's hard to beat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And everything's pretty much rooted in that. So,
yeah.
You know, man. you gotta respect the roots.
Absolutely. Yeah. That all that kind of stuff heavily influenced us. Yeah. Like there's, you know, old country tunes, John Anderson, even like early Garth Brooks and yes. some of that stuff when we were kids. Yeah. It's pretty dark shit. If you read the yeah. lyrics, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it does. Yeah. So all that stuff really influenced me. I've always been a big fan of kind of the Layne Staley approach from Alice in Chains.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I heard Dirt as a kid, I had no idea what heroin was. All I knew was that I can relate emotionally to a lot of the stuff this guy's saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at no point during that album does he use the word heroin you know, he just doesn't. He was very. Used a lot of similes and metaphors and just painted a kind of a dark picture of what he was going through and struggling with addiction without actually saying it. And my approach to venting some of my emotions of things that I struggle with and I go through, which addiction's not one of them, thank God, but is being able to make it relatable to anyone. You know, I've had people come up and ask me, well, what's this song about? And I tell them, they're like, oh, I thought it was about this and this. And I said, then it is.
If that's
what it means to you, then that's what it's about. This is just where my head was when I wrote it. But the emotion is exactly the same. It does not matter what those lyrics are saying as much as the emotion that you're conveying through those lyrics. Yeah. So,
I've always
been a big fan, any genre, whether it be, you know, death metal or old school country bluegrass or even old gangster rap in the 90s. Yes. Some of that shit. It wasn't all just about, you know, crack and murder. Some of that shit you listen to and you're just like, my God, like imagine the daily struggle that these motherfuckers go through and the lifestyle that they are forced to live. That is terrible.
But
you know, again, it helps you kind of tap into different elements and give you an outlet to express it yourself. So I'm hoping we can do that for not only our children, but, you know, just fans in general, which I think we're fairly decent at. So.
Well, I obviously here, me and my partner here, we wish you guys the best of luck, and we're going to continue to, you know, support you and play music on our show, you know, play the music on our show. And I love the snake going through the skull. That is just so cool.
We saw that, when we got the final edits, we were like, dude, that is cooler than any of the performance. Yeah. That is so cool.
It's very
literally fits the mood and the tone and those tones of the song perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It really does.
Absolutely.
It just reminds me of Opeth a little bit, because Opeth is kind of like that too.
That's how you guys got your start.
Thank you.
That was how you guys got your start.
Thanks.
Touring with Opeth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was. Yeah. Oh my God. We constantly reference that as a joke. Like when Wayne got us that show, and most of our success that we've had is because our guitarist Wayne, who's also our manager, is just, he's a bulldog and he's a business bulldog. So if he wants it, he's getting it. And he'll do whatever it takes, you know, morally speaking, he'll do whatever it takes within certain terms to make it happen. But that thing with Opeth, he worked and he was like, hey guys, we got our first show, and we were like, oh, okay, cool. And then he's like, yeah, we're opening for Opeth. So we were like, what in the fuck are you doing, dude? We've been a band for 4 months. We at that point, we literally only had 3 songs written.
Wow.
And he had us a show book. We had no recordings, we had nothing. It was literally just because he was good and haggled it and got it done. And we got, I think we had to sell 150 tickets. We ended up selling 180 tickets.
Wow, nice.
So yeah, we had to go back and ask for more tickets. But at the same time we're doing all that, we're like, well, fuck, we're getting a 25-minute set and we only got 3 songs. We got to get to work. So we had 2 months to write 2 more songs. And they were so fresh that when we got on stage, we literally fucked up 2 of them. Like we went from this chorus of this song into this verse of this song.
Wow.
Like, and it was one of the worst shows ever. But again, not many bands can say their first live show was opening for Opeth.
True,
you know, that
true.
But God, how we ever became even slightly successful after that is an absolute mystery. That was the most embarrassed I've ever been live on stage, and the most confused any of us have ever been, just looking at each other like, where the fuck are we?
Right. What the hell is going on?
How old were you guys when that first show happened?
What's that?
How old were you guys when that first show happened?
Austin was the youngest and he was 19.
Wow.
I was like 20, 22, I think. And I was I'm the oldest in the band.
Oh, okay.
So we're all pretty close. So yeah, we were super, super young and just completely naive. And we were just excited to play.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what that show did for us was, getting off stage, knowing how shitty we did, and then getting to sit and watch Opeth, we were like, we have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Like we want to get to that point. We have no idea how to do it, but we're willing to put in the legwork. Go.
Yeah.
So we kind of modeled that. That was also a huge blessing, because a lot of bands just play their local circuit and garage stuff, and that's good. Yep. You got to get that mileage in.
Sure.
But our first show set a bar that we never forgot. We were like, we will never perform this badly ever. And that is our goal. We want to get there. There was, you know, 800 people sold out show in that room and we played in front of them and just, we still have fans that now are just like, I remember seeing you guys with Opeth that ruled. And we're like, oh my God, no, it didn't.
Yeah. I think you need to get your ears checked
right,
there, buddy.
Right. Were you sober?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you were really at that show or you would not be saying that at all. Kelly, can I sit with you?
Sure.
I'm going to sit with our sound guy. He's eating a burrito and I'm really hungry, so I'm just smelling it.
Nice.
Well, and that on that note, we'll let you go, actually. We know it, we probably talked to you for like an hour now. We could talk to you for hours.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I already know you.
and if you can't tell by how this interview's gone, I am a social butterfly almost to a flaw, like annoyingly so. I get it. My band members are like, okay, dude, we got other stuff to do. No, I still got to talk to this guy. We're going on stage in 5 minutes. All right, we'll tell him I'll be there in like 6 minutes. I'm just talking to this person, you know. I love talking anything music, period. I don't need to talk to people just so they can praise me about my band, which I don't feel like you guys are. But I love having commonality with people. You know, I didn't have that growing up as a kid. So whenever I discovered that there were other people, you know, that felt the same way and viewed music the same way I did when I was older, I just hit the ground running, just have not looked back. So thank you guys for having me on. And any time you guys want to, if it works out time wise and I've got a decent cell phone signal, let's do it.
Yeah, all right. For sure.
All right. Again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
You got it, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
And continue to kick ass on this tour and good luck tonight.
Yes.
For sure.
Hopefully for
thanks so much. I'm gonna go eat a burrito the size of a baby, and hopefully tonight'll go great.
Awesome. Now
hopefully you don't have a baby come out the other end.
Right. It burns.
Oh, it happened. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Take care, Noah.
All right. Love you guys. Thanks so
love
much.
You too. Bye.
Love you too, brother. Bye. Yeah, imagine if I'd have started this interview out first, like, hey, fuck Tom Azart.
Right.
Wait,
right,
what?
Exactly.
Where did that come from?
He's such a son of a bitch.
Whatever you, whatever you do, make sure and cut that out.
No, I'll put that front first. I'll cut it to the beginning.
That'll be the headline of the interview. God. Noah Robinson says.
Oh, Jesus.